craft or activity, and then we have our teaching time at the end. But since the card making is such an involved event, and we're super excited about that, we're going to go ahead and do our teaching time first, for one, so that we don't run out of time for that. And it's a great way to start our time together. So let me go ahead and open in prayer, and then we're just going to have a short devotional style teaching, and then we'll move into our card making. So let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day. I thank you so much for all these ladies that you've brought together to spend our evening together. I thank you so much for the work that has gone into preparing these card kits and the opportunity we have to make something with our hands and the opportunity we'll then have to be able to encourage one another, friends and family, as we use these cards. So I just pray that you be with us throughout this evening, that our time together would be sweet and encouraging. And I pray now for this short time of looking to your word and thinking on the topic of discernment. I just pray that you would help me to speak clearly, and that through your word you would be growing us up in our faith, that we would be being strengthened through your power and your might within us. We thank you so much for your Holy Spirit and the work that you do, enabling us to live for you in this world. Just thank you again for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so last month when we met together, I shared with you the theme that we're going to be focusing on throughout this year, which is developing biblical discernment. So we talked a little bit about what discernment is, why we need it, how we can grow in discernment. So tonight I just want to give a little reminder of what discernment is, and just share some thoughts about that. Next month, when we have a little bit more time for our teaching time, we'll get into some topics related to developing discernment and how that can be helpful and important for us as we live for Christ day by day. So in the little booklet, Developing Your Discernment, which is available at the welcome desk upstairs. I don't know the quite information center upstairs. So in this booklet, MacArthur defines discernment as the ability to understand, interpret, and apply truth skillfully. It is the sharp insight and understanding that allows wisdom to be applied effectively, and it is essential for living a life honoring to God in a sinful world. The Bible Hub Topical Encyclopedia says that discernment in the Bible refers to the ability to judge well, particularly in distinguishing between good and evil, truth and falsehood. It's closely related to wisdom, but it focuses more on the practical application of wisdom in making decisions, in understanding spiritual truth, and recognizing truth from error. It's that distinguishing between things. Discernment is all about knowing the truth and applying the truth. True spiritual discernment must begin with Scripture, revealed truth from God. Apart from Scripture, we are just left with our own reasoning and our own understanding, which are not adequate for navigating the challenges we face in this life. In fact, Scripture specifically tells us to not lean on our own understanding, our own discernment. We need guidance and direction from the Lord. Considering our high calling in Christ and taking into account the world we live in, we all have a great need for discernment. We all need to be growing in and developing biblical discernment. In Hebrews 5:14, the readers of Hebrews were urged to pursue biblical discernment. That verse says, "But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil." In this context, the mature is referring to believers, those who are made complete or made perfect through salvation in Jesus Christ. Those who are saved, those who know God, are able to understand spiritual truth and are trained by the Word of God to discern good and evil. Biblical discernment is developed in the life of a believer through spiritual maturity and practice through the work of the Holy Spirit. Growth in discernment is a case of dependent responsibility. Wisdom and discernment only come from God. We cannot attain to it on our own. We cannot acquire it without His freely giving it to us. And He promises that He will give us wisdom if we ask for it. And yet we are also called to pursue wisdom and discernment with great effort, searching for it as for hidden treasure. And we are to apply ourselves to growing and practicing and to having our senses trained. We are to pursue wisdom and discernment through the means that God has provided. Last month we talked a little bit about how we ought to pursue discernment. First, we are to build on the foundation of the Word of God. The foundation of wisdom is the Word of God, so we need to apply our efforts to build up this foundation in our hearts and our minds. We want to have the truth of God at the ready for the Holy Spirit to utilize in our lives. We need to know the Word of God. Our attitude towards God's Word should be one of eagerly receiving the truth and instruction from God, treasuring it within our hearts. We should give it our full attention and apply our full effort to know and understand the truth, and to allow ourselves to be transformed by it as God conforms us to the likeness of Jesus Christ. And we need to pray. We're completely dependent on God working within us to bring about the change in our hearts and minds and wills, and to develop discernment and the ability to walk in wisdom. So we need to pray. According to Proverbs 2:3, we are to cry for discernment and lift our voices for understanding. This is a fervent prayer that recognizes the depth of our need. The Word of God ought to form the basis for our prayer. Our prayers for wisdom should flow out of our study of God's Word and should be informed by God's Word and directed by what we read in God's Word. We see an example of this, an example that we can pray along with in Philippians 1, 9, and 10, where Paul is praying that the Philippians would grow in discernment in the way that they loved. Philippians 1, 9, and 10 says, "And this I pray, that your love may abound still more and more in full knowledge and all discernment, so that you may be able to approve the things that are excellent, in order to be sincere and without fault until the day of Christ." Paul prayed that the love that the Philippians exhibited as true followers of Christ would be rooted in their real knowledge of the truth of Scripture, and that as they love, they'd be able to clearly perceive the true nature of the situations they were involved in order to properly evaluate and respond appropriately, so that they can be approving the things that are excellent in how they're loving others. So we need to build on the foundation of the Word of God to truly know God's Word. We need to pray, and we need to study. We need to study the Word of God. Developing discernment comes from training from the Word of God, from careful, diligent study. To gain all that God's Word has for us regarding the situations we face, we may need to seek counsel and guidance from our pastors and elders. We may need to listen to sermons and read books on the topics that we're dealing with. We may need to talk things through with a sister in Christ. God has provided many resources for us to grow in our understanding of His Word, and we should make use of them. And remember, as true followers of Jesus Christ, we have been given the gift of the indwelling Holy Spirit, who guides us into all truth as we study God's Word. MacArthur wrote, "Discernment ultimately depends on the Holy Spirit. As we are filled with and controlled by the Spirit of God, He makes us discerning." This is such an important reminder, because throughout our lives, we will face many challenging situations that require discernment in order for us to determine the right course of action. These challenges can come from our own weaknesses and sin, and they can come in the form of conflict with others or persecution from the world. Some of these issues are really rather simple, at least simple to understand. These can be simple matters of obedience and taking God at His word, despite what our feelings tell us. Other issues are extremely complex and can overwhelm our abilities to determine the right course of action. There are many issues being discussed in the world around us that are distressing and upsetting. There are many situations where it's impossible for us to know for sure what the truth is, what really happened. So how do we respond to these issues? How do we know what is right? How do we know how to counsel those around us? In the confusing situations we face, how can our love abound still more and more in full knowledge and all discernment? How can we be sure to approve the things that are excellent and not the things that are not? How can we remain sincere and without fault until the day of Christ? How can we walk in a manner worthy of our high calling in Christ when there is so much chaos and confusion? And not only from our own human limitations and sinfulness and that of others, but from an enemy that often disguises himself as an angel of light, who is actively trying to confuse and mislead and to weaken our faith and to damage our testimony. Biblical discernment is a key way that God will guide us through the challenges that we face. Regardless of the issue or the challenge, we must remember our role and our purpose. We are slaves of Christ. We are His ambassadors. We are children of God in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom we shine as lights in the world. We must not retreat. We must not lose heart. Instead, as author Erwin Lutzer writes, we must strive in prayer and courage to witness to the power of Christ to transform hearts and lives. That's what really matters. No matter what the issue, this is our priority. In the epilogue of Lutzer's wonderful book, No Reason to Hide, he shares some encouragement for how we can navigate our way in this chaotic and treacherous world. He actually got what he shared in his epilogue from an article by David Bryant, and I wanted to share that with you as we close. He describes a situation where a family is hiking and rock climbing in the Garden of the Gods in Colorado Springs when their 16-year-old daughter became frozen with fear halfway up a 60-foot stone pillar and was unable to move an inch further. Her father had already reached the top and gently and calmly called these instructions to her. He said, "Don't look around, look only at me, and keep climbing." As the girl listened to her father and obeyed, she was able to reach safety. These instructions, "Don't look around, look only at me, and keep climbing," encapsulate the exhortations of Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, and can form the basis of a spiritually wise approach for us as we find our way through the trials and troubles of life. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 says, "Laying aside every weight and the sin which so easily entangles us, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So he said, don't look around. Don't let the world's darkness and fears prey on your mind and heart. Don't get caught up in the culture and its conflicts. If you become immersed in the fears and conflicts of the world, you will freeze and find yourself unable to move forward. Don't take your cues from the culture. Lay aside the cares of this world. Cast your burdens on him. If you do allow yourself to get bogged down by the baggage of this world, including sins and distractions in your heart, repent. Don't look around. Instead, look only to me. Look to Jesus. We must look beyond this world and fix our eyes on Jesus, our Savior, who died and rose again, and who sat down at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven, our Lord and our King. He has gone before us as a forerunner. He is our sure hope and anchor of the soul. In Christ, we are secure during times of trouble and turmoil and uncertainty. Now, there may be issues that we face where we need to consider what is happening in our culture, but this must not be the focus of our hearts. Lutzer's advice is to glance at the culture, but gaze on Jesus. Our culture presents many challenges, but Jesus has defeated sin and death and is preparing a place for us in heaven. He has provided an example for us to follow. Total dependence on God and his word, walking in obedience to the Father in all things, never compromising the truth. And he has given us his Holy Spirit to guide and empower us to live faithfully for him no matter what we face. So don't look around, look only at me, and keep climbing. With our eyes fixed on Jesus, Lutzer says we are to keep going, growing, and loving. He writes, "We have decisions we must make. We have hardships we must work through. We have friends who don't understand. We have health issues. But we keep going, growing, and loving. We glance at the problems and gaze on Jesus and keep going. We know we will face trouble in this world. Jesus promised we would, but he also promised that we can have peace in him. John 16:33 says, "These things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage. I have overcome the world." So we keep climbing. And as we go, we stand firm in the strength that he provides, and we let our light shine brightly for the world to see. Let me go ahead and pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for this day, and I thank you for the encouragement that we can find in your word. I know that it's tempting to be overwhelmed by the things that we hear in the world around us and wonder how we can have any kind of impact, how we can address the concerns that we see all around us, and yet we know that we need to not look around, but fix our eyes on you and keep climbing, keep walking with you. I thank you for the strength that you provide. I thank you for the clarity of your word and your Holy Spirit who provides the guidance and the comfort and the direction that we need to be able to be ambassadors for you in this world. Thank you again for this day and for our time in your word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.